Jesus has expressed to these people who he is, both in word and in deed. Some of them, if you look at the end of the last section, verse 30, some of them actually believed in him. Others, verse 31, to the Jews who had believed him. Don't miss what's missing. In verse 30, it says that some put their faith in him. Verse 31 said that he is speaking now to those who believed him. Not in him, but probably listened to some of his words, heard what he said, took it in, and believed the words that he said. This is what some might call intellectual faith. It has been said that the 18-inch stretch from the brain to the heart is the longest 18 inches you will find anywhere. And there were people who evidently heard Christ and even took him at his word. And to those people he now speaks. And he says to them, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants and have never been slaves of anyone. Have you guys ever heard of the Egyptians? Have you guys ever heard of the Babylonians? Have you ever read the book of Judges? Have you even paid any attention to the Roman government? We've never been slaves of anyone. So how can you say that we'll be set free? You understand, they listened to some of what Jesus had to say and they believed him, but now he's speaking mysteries to them and he infringes upon their pride. Jesus is good at that. He infringes upon their pride and speaks of freedom. And that is an affront to these people because we are descendants of Abraham. We're not anybody's slaves. So how can you say we'll be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now a slave has no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me because you have no room for my word. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence. And you do what you have heard from your father. Jesus is making a stark comparison here. All I'm doing is telling you what I've heard from my father. You guys, on the other hand, are listening to your father, and so you desire to kill me. Catch the difference? You guys are the slaves to sin. I'm the one who offers freedom. Problem is, they don't understand their own slavery and they don't see their need to be set free. Abraham is our father, they answered, and Jesus is quick to reply. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. It would be evident in your lifestyle. Did you ever wake up and make that comparison in your own mind? You were in front of a mirror and you said to yourself, that looks just like my mother. That sounded just like my father. I won't tell you which one of my children received a haircut not too long ago and looking in the mirror, investigating this new haircut, went, ah, I look like my father. Do you know that you will take on characteristics from your father, even behavioral, whether you want to or not? And what they're saying is, we're Abraham's children. Ain't we something? And Jesus said, if you were Abraham's children, you'd act like him. Well, watch what else he has to say. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You're not Abraham's child. I know you descended from him, but you're not Abraham's children. You are doing the thing your father does. Now Jesus is getting real serious and real offensive. We are not illegitimate children. Do you understand what an affront to these Jews these words would have been? The only father we have is God himself. Now, if that's true, you guys, then you would look like him. That's what Jesus goes on to say. If God were your father, for a little bit they were talking about Abraham being their dad, and then he says, wait, Abraham wouldn't do this kind of foolishness. You're not Abraham's children. No, we're not illegitimate. God's our father. That's our only father. Just a minute, guys. If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil, and you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Pray with me. Father, these words are not easy words. They strike at the core of a relationship with the living Christ. Would you give us ears to hear? Would you protect us from putting up our walls? Would you tear down the walls of our pride? Would you help us to understand and to respond appropriately by your strength, by your grace, by your spirit? For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Have you ever done this? You go to the refrigerator, you're hungry, it's lunchtime, you got bread, and you got some cold meat. And so you go into the refrigerator and you go, gee, I wonder how long that's been there. And then there's some tests you can take or do, perform, to discover if it's really good, right? You kind of look at it and you go, is that? It's kind of green, but you're really hungry. Maybe I could just tear off that edge. And so you start looking for a date, expired 1993. Yeah, but it's got a lot of preservatives in it, so it'll still be good. And then you can tell how desperate you really are because you've looked at the date, you've looked at the color, and you still have to, what? Yeah, and then you go down and you go, I'm not smelling it. Eddie, would you smell this and see if it's okay? Have you done that? Have you taken the meat out and said, honey, smell this and see if it's okay? How do you know if it's good or not? And to me, that's the question that Jesus raises here is, if you guys belong to your father, if God were your father, it would look like something in your lives. There are a couple of tests that he gives us here that will make it evident as to whether or not we do belong or we don't, whether we're good or we're bad. And the first one we find in the first part of that section that we read, if you hold to my teaching, you are really my disciples, then you will know the truth and the truth will set you free. Freedom is a characteristic of somebody if they did belong to the Father. If God were your father, you would be free. What does that mean? Freedom requires that we're released from, set free from something. Free from sin. I am convinced that the first point I'm going to make about freedom from sin is the paramount. It's the pinnacle point of being free. And that's what Jesus did on the cross. He paid my penalty. See, if the penalty isn't satisfied for my sin, you can forget the rest of what I'm going to say. If God is my Father, I've been set free from the condemnation of my sin. And we've gone over this before. How much of my sin was future at the cross of Christ? All of it. Some of you may think I'm older than that, but I'm not. The penalty of my sin was paid for futuristically at the cross. All of it was yet to come. I hadn't done anything wrong yet. My parents didn't even exist yet. And so when Christ went to Calvary's cross, he set me free from the penalty. The penalty that I owe for my sin is to forever be separated from God, to deserve the wrath of God for all eternity. That's what it would take for me to pay for my sin and you as well. And it would never be paid for. The penalty would never be satisfied. In comes Jesus. And he took my sin. He who knew no sin. The spotless Lamb of God. Who had to be spotless. He alone could take my sin upon himself and pay the penalty of it and in turn give me his righteousness. No one else could die for your sins and give you righteousness in return. Jesus is saying, if you were from your Father, if God were your Father, you would be free, free from the penalty of sin. There is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If I am still condemned, I will never be free in practice from sin. Never. There is no victory over temptation today if I am still under the penalty of my sin. But you understand, when Jesus removes the penalty for my sin, he did something else. He set me free from its power. He, by his Holy Spirit dwelling within me, has given me the ability to practically defeat sin in my life. Don't hear me saying Romans 7 doesn't exist and that someday I will reach sinless perfection on this earth. I will not. But practically speaking, there is strength in the risen Christ to defeat sin in my life. There is strength, practically speaking, to say no to temptation. And it doesn't come from me, it comes from the risen Christ. If God were your Father, you would be free. And so when temptation comes knocking, and you know that if you report that extra income that you can get away without reporting on your income tax return, when you know and this little voice says, if you report that, they're going to charge you more and your refund won't be as high. There really is strength in the Lord Jesus Christ to say, I will do the right thing. I will strive by his grace and his strength to honor him in obedience to his word. Now, what's exciting is he not only has freed us from the penalty and the power of sin, but eventually the presence. Think about it. Can you? Can you imagine what, as we've been studying in Revelation, what the new heavens and the new earth look like without sin? look at what man has been able to achieve in so many years with sin rampant. Imagine what blessings of God we might enjoy in a sinless world. Imagine the advancements we might have without sin. If God were your Father, you would be free. Free not only from sin, but from selfishness. Life no longer has to be about what you want. Now it can suddenly shift and it can be about what He wants. And I know that the wrestling and the temptation is strong and the battle is strong within us. And there's an incredible desire to do our own thing. And we've propagated that in our culture. But God has called us to do His thing. And now we're free from living for self and free to live unto God. You've invested your life in your work. The break you've waited for a lifetime has finally knocked on your door. And after untold hours of preparation and interviews, they hire one of your coworkers. That was it. That was the final straw. You find yourself in a mad scuffle with God Himself. He didn't work out your agenda. How dare He? But Jesus is saying, if He were your Father, you'd be free to let go of your plans and to seek to understand His plans for your life. Free from sin and selfishness. Boy, some of you could give a strong testimony how you've spent so much time of your life living it for you and how empty that really was. And how by God's grace and with His strength, you've begun to learn to live by His plans according to His agenda. And how much more meaningful, I didn't say easy, but how much more meaningful it is. And you with new zeal, with new desire, with almost an insatiable appetite have dived into His Word to discover what His plan for you is. We've really already talked about this one, freedom from separation. But that's not just someday. You understand, He meant it when He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The presence of Almighty God with us, not just on Sunday. Every day, all day. God's presence is yours today. And you will get to be with Him forever, if He's your Father. There's a second evidence, if you will, in verse 42. Not only freedom from sin, but a new freedom to do something else. God didn't just save you from sin. God saved you to be His workmanship, to do His work. There's joy in serving Him. Anything else is second best. Verse 42, Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love Me. See, they didn't love Him. How do you know, Carl? Well, they were trying to kill Him. That's your first clue. They didn't really care about Him. Well, they cared about Him. They cared to get rid of Him. Now, I hope that none of you have this mad desire that you're going to kill Jesus. We're not so blatant. We're much more subtle. And somewhere inside, we wouldn't even admit that we would like to get rid of Him. But if we really don't want to get rid of Him, that means we won't choose to silence Him. When He speaks to us through His Word, we won't choose to silence Him. When He speaks to us through His Word, we won't choose to ignore Him, but we'll go a step farther back. Sometimes we just don't even want to read the Word because we're afraid of it. There's nothing to be afraid of. If God were your Father, you would love Christ And that means loving His Word. That means not silencing Him. These people, some of them, had apparently believed something about Jesus. Something that He had said, but it had turned ugly. And there were some who desired to kill Him. It's interesting how we will make time for those things that are important to us. Are you making time for Jesus? How's your love life with Jesus? Are you in love with Him? Do you see more of His beauty today than you saw a month ago, a year ago, 10 years ago? Jesus is something to behold for all that He's done, but He's not done. He's still working in our lives. Come to Jesus and live. Chris Rice writes and sings, or he sings these words anyway. Now your burden's lifted and carried far away, and precious blood has washed away the stain. So sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus. Sing to Jesus and live. And like a newborn baby, don't be afraid to crawl. And remember, when you walk, sometimes we fall. So fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus. Fall on Jesus and live. Sometimes the way is lonely and steep and filled with pain. So if your sky is dark and pours the rain, then cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus. Cry to Jesus and live. Oh, and when the love spills over and music fills the night, and when you can't contain the joy inside, then dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus. Dance for Jesus and live. I love his last line. And with our final heartbeat, kiss the world goodbye. Then go in peace and laugh on glory's side. And fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus. Fly to Jesus and live. Do you understand what Jesus is telling these people? If God were your Father, you would be in love with me. But since He isn't, you desire to get rid of me. I'm an intrusion in your life. Dare I ask, how many of us are just like the Jews who had believed Him in verse 31, who have some sort of intellectual knowledge and acceptance of something that He has said or done, but have never come to Jesus, aren't really in love with Him? It's a difference between believing Him and believing in Him, and it's not just semantics. It's a matter of putting my trust in Christ versus knowing something about Him that I accept as true. And I would challenge you, is your Father God? Look in the mirror and ask the hard questions. Are you free? Are you in love with Jesus? Believer, since God is your Father, since He is your Father, exercise your freedom from sin. say, Carl, I don't know how you don't know how long I've struggled with this. Is the cross big enough? Does it need to grow in your mind? Do you need to understand once again what Christ has done for you? Do you need to hear His words at you? It is finished. Exercise your freedom from selfishness. Begin each day with Him, asking Him for His agenda. Practice His presence. Spend time with Him. Listen to Him. He speaks through His word. Talk to Him. He listens when we pray. Believer, since God is your Father, exercise your freedom to love Jesus. What does that look like in your life? To love Jesus. You heard the children, didn't you? Keep His commandments. Do what He says. And it's not because God's going to get me if I don't. It's because I love Jesus. Think back to your courtship. Think of the silly things you were willing to do for your now husband or wife. Think of the silly giddiness. Think of how you were willing to sacrifice your agenda because you were in love. You willing to sacrifice your agenda for Jesus? Not because He's going to get me if I don't, but because I'm just giddy in love with Jesus. He's amazing. He's unbelievable. He's infinite God who became man. He stood by waiting as they drove nails through His hands and His feet with your sin borne upon His shoulders. He willingly endured hell from His Father because we deserved it. And what gets me is that His daddy said in His eternal decree, I can keep my son and lose Carl, or I can give my son and gain Carl. You put your name there. This is an incredible Christ. Are you in love with Him? I've heard this story, and maybe you have too. I don't know that I ever took it as truth, but I found out some more details. It was back in the 19th century. There was an acrobat. He was known all over the world. He was known by the stage name Blondin, born in France in 1824. He became well known in France as a child, did all kinds of spectacular acrobatic stuff. That's the technical name. But he became more spectacular with his flair, with his dramatic effect in some of the stunts that he would do. He owed his celebrity and fortune to his idea of crossing the gorge below Niagara Falls on a tightrope, 1,100 feet long, 160 feet above the water. This he accomplished first on June 30, 1859, a number of ways, always with different theatric variations. Blindfolded, he went across. In a sack, he went across, which, by the way, is the only way you would get me on a tightrope over Niagara Falls, and that unconscious. Trundling a wheelbarrow on stilts, carrying a man, his manager, on his back, sitting down midway across while he cooked and ate an omelet. That's enough to give me indigestion. It is reported that once, after carrying someone across on his back, coming back, he put his rider down and he turned to the large crowd that had been watching. And he asked a man who was near at hand, "Do you believe that I could do that with you?" Easy, be careful how you answer. "Of course you can. I've just seen you do it. Hop on. I'm carrying you across. I think that's my cell phone ringing." Not on your life. But I'm here to tell you that the only way to gain your life is to lose it and to hop on Jesus. That's what he spells out in these verses to these people who are listening with some sort of apparent intellectual faith that had not penetrated their hearts. Don't you stay there. How do I get from there, Carl, to where I need to be? Child of God. You admit to him, "God, I'm a sinner. I need Jesus." You tell him that you believe that Jesus died in your place. And you put your trust in Christ. Believer, you're free. Live like it. Believer, you are in love with Christ. May your love for him accelerate. Will you pray with me? Father, how easily we are amazed at an acrobat who can span the space of 1,100 feet, 160 feet above the bottom of the falls at Niagara. And how blind we are to marvel at the master who made the falls. Sometimes how blind we are, Lord Jesus, to your incredible beauty. What kind of character would willingly yield his life for mine? Wretched and vile sinner that I am. Thanks be to you, O God, for Christ Jesus. May we be in love with you. Lord Jesus, you have set us free. May that be evident in our lives. And finally, Father, it is my prayer that no one would leave this place with simple, intellectual, unsaving faith, but instead, if there is someone here who has never transferred their trust to you, Lord Jesus, maybe they're still clinging to their good works that aren't good. Maybe they're still clinging to parents who are Christians. Maybe they're clinging to who knows what. May they let go today and transfer their trust to the living Christ. With heads bowed and eyes closed, my challenge is specifically to you who may not yet know Christ. if that is your desire, if that is the work of God's Spirit in your life today, would you just simply tell him, Lord, I've blown it. I've sinned against God. Lord Jesus, be my Savior. I believe you. And transfer your trust to him. God, do your work by your Spirit in the lives of your people. Even now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.